Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
Our second scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of John, John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Again, I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last Wednesday morning, I was emptying the dishwasher. And as I began putting the clean glasses back in the cupboard, I noticed that several glasses were missing. However, I knew where those missing glasses were. I won't tell you which daughter, but of the two, we have one who loves to take a glass of water up to her bedroom, yet is unable to bring the empty glasses back to the kitchen. I don't know why this would be. It's one of the great mysteries of life, I suppose. So occasionally, in a fit of frustration, I go upstairs to our daughter's room. There on her bedside table last Wednesday morning were 9 glasses. 9. Her bedside table does not have room enough for all those glasses. So they sat there precariously, stacked one upon another. Possibly you can tell that this habit of hers gets on my nerves. It gets on my nerves because I can't understand it. I picked up the glasses one by one to take them downstairs to the dishwasher as I was attempting to hold all 9 glasses in 2 hands so that I might make it in one trip. I noticed that the 9 glasses were covering up a Valentine's card. The card wasn't signed, but I believe it came from her grandmother. Here it is. I stole it. And this is what it says. This Valentine's card to our daughter from her grandmother. "The way you are is awesome. The way you are is smart. The way you are is fun and funny, kind and full of heart. The way you are is magic. The way you are is wow. No wonder you're so loved for just the way you are right now. That's what you think, Grandma. You don't have to pick up her dirty glasses. That's what I thought to myself for just a second before I thought about how true those words are. Looking around her bedroom, I noticed again that there is so much in there besides an accumulation of dirty glasses. On her wall are multiple awards. One, which she received just the night before, came from her coach, who remarked on how mature she is, how respectful, how kind. So slowly but surely, my frustration with one aspect of our daughter retreated so that I might take in the whole of who she is. Has something like this ever happened to you? Do you know what I'm talking about? The Reverend Joe Bryce, who served here as an associate pastor for several years, he's now at the Presbyterian Church in Rockmart, likes to say, what you focus on, you get more of. What does that mean? It means that when I'm pulling weeds, weeds are all I see, and those weeds somehow multiply. It means that when I read the newspaper, the more I focus on typos, the more typos I see. Just last week, in fact, I was reading an article on the bridge disaster in Baltimore. The paper I was reading reported that there was a major accident on the Francis Key Scott Bridge. That's not right. It was the Francis Scott Key Bridge, yet the typo is beside the point. Why focus on typos when people have been injured? Why focus on typos when people have died? However, focusing on tragedy, the same thing happens. When we focus on tragedy, we see more and more tragedy. So surely Mary woke up that Easter morning and said to her family, make your own breakfast. I can't think about it. Who can think about breakfast amid such devastating tragedy? I imagine that in the days after his crucifixion, the agony on his face was imprinted on Mary's consciousness. Having watched him suffer, having seen the blood that dripped down his cheeks, heard the crowd who called for his death, followed on the slow march to the place where he would be crucified, those images surely haunted her dreams. I imagine that all the details and all the joy of life fell away so that tragedy was all she could see. When tragedy walks in, it just takes over, doesn't it? When injustice appears, it's hard to think of anything else other than how unfair the world is. And so that Easter morning so long ago, I'm not surprised that Mary didn't see him. What we focus on, we get more of. And what Mary was focused on was tragedy and injustice. So when she went to the tomb and she saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb, she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. My friends, we know that's not what happened. We know that this is no case of a missing corpse. But think with me about why Mary Magdalene assumed that someone had stolen his body. Think with me about why Mary looked up and in seeing a man assumed he was the gardener. She couldn't see him in the same way that when I get focused on one part of our daughters that gets on my nerves, I can't see the whole of who they are. She couldn't see him just as those who read for typos miss the content. Why would Mary Magdalene, consumed by tragedy and injustice, show up at the empty tomb and assume that someone had stolen his body? It's because what we focus on, we get more of. What we have been trained to see, we see. So if I've been watching the news for too long, I go out into the world expecting to be robbed. If I listen to what the talking heads say about illegal immigration, I go out into the world angry and afraid. It's the same way after a funeral. After a funeral, I get so messed up in my head, tragedy takes over. It's all that I can see. It takes a minute for me to remember that death will not have the final word. Last week, I sat with my family at the funeral of a 42-year-old mother of four. That funeral was so tragic and so heartbreaking that I fell into a kind of depression. I looked out onto the world, preparing myself for the other shoe to drop. In my subconscious were questions like, what's going to happen next? What is God going to take from me next? Where's the next hurt going to come from? When will the next disaster strike? I asked these questions because the tragedy was all that I could see, and the tragedy is real. And yet, the preacher at that funeral said, and yet. The preacher at that funeral last week told us that he'd walk with Josh, the widower, and that Josh would say, I've never been through such a hard time. And yet, the church has been there for us every day. I've never been so angry with God. And yet, the flowers of spring have never been so beautiful. That stuck with me because, my friends, there is plenty for us to get upset about. There is plenty of tragedy for us to focus on. But if we only focus on the tragedy, we will miss the one who is standing right in front of us. Mary, Jesus said to her. When he first appeared, she thought he was a gardener for like me, for like us, for like our world. She was practiced in being disappointed, so practiced in being disappointed that she had no room left in her vision to see a miracle. What we focus on, we get more of. And I want you to know this morning that I'm tired of being focused on tragedy. I'm tired of being focused on bad news. I'm ready to hear the good news. And I want you to know that the good news is just as real and just as true as anything else. Yet we are so practiced in being disappointed that tragedy is clouding our vision. So this Easter morning, I'm calling on you to see through the lens of faith. I want you to practice some Easter vision. I'm talking about how I wake up in the morning. Now, I'm not talking about an Easter bunny and sunglasses Easter vision. I'm talking about how I wake up in the morning and I look myself in the mirror and all I can see is how the hair, which used to be up on top of my head, is now coming out of my nostrils. It's been said that we produce up to 50,000 thoughts per day. 50,000 thoughts per day. And 80% of those thoughts are negative. The impact of all those negative thoughts are that we're dragging through life, preparing ourselves to be disappointed. So remember with me this morning, our thoughts need not be our reality. The evil one will use our thoughts against us. And so I ask you this Easter morning the same question that the risen Jesus asked Mary Magdalene so long ago. Whom are you looking for? Are you looking for death? You will find it. Are you looking for injustice? You will find it. Are you looking to be disappointed? Are you looking for signs that the world is falling apart? Are you looking for a reason to give up hope? No doubt you will find it. And yet, if you are looking for the risen Lord Jesus Christ, you will find him too, for he is risen. Every morning I wake up and I try to write down 10 things that I'm thankful for. Just 10. Every time I get started, I get stuck after about 2. It's slow going because I'm trying to be grateful for what God is doing in my life right after I've read the newspaper, which has reported on how the world is falling apart. The world has taught me to focus on the flaws, not to be thankful, but to complain. So when I sit down to write down what I'm thankful for, I'll write down 1 or 2, then I'll slow down and I won't know what else to write next. And yet, once I get going, once I reframe my thinking, once the powers of sin and death lose their grip on my consciousness, I can't stop writing. I can't stop giving thanks to God who has provided me with a house and a wife who loves me, 2 beautiful children, a church to serve, an office with books and a private bathroom, the sun that shines, flowers that bloom, springtime all around. For he is risen, my friends. Just take a moment and think about it with me. Think about the choir sitting behind me. Think about this great hall. Think about how far this church has come, and be reminded of the truth that he is risen.
He is risen.
Now look around. Look around at the people you're sitting with. Choir, some of them think I can't see them, but I can see. I can see that not everybody's doing it. Everybody, look around at the people you're sitting with. Are you sitting with criminals? Are you sitting with people who are going to take something from you? No. You are sitting with your brothers and sisters in Christ. But in order for you to know who they are, in order for you to recognize them for who they are, you must get rid of the message that the world has been pushing into your ears, which is a false gospel, a lie to manipulate us and push us into despair and isolation. Remember that he is risen, and greet your neighbors with joy in your heart. My friends, I've been moping around too long. You know that? I've been moping around too long, being focused on what I don't have. I've been moping around too long, afraid that someone is going to take something from me, when the Lord has in fact given me everything. My friends, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And in his wings comes salvation. In his death comes to us the gift of everlasting life. Go out into the world prepared to see him, for he is risen.
He is risen.
He's not dead. Hope is not dead. Love is not dead, for he is risen.
He is risen.
That's the message of Easter. The cold earth gives way to the blooms of tulips. The broken relationships are mended by the miracle of forgiveness. Neighbors see each other as friends instead of enemies, and broken people like us. To us, the Lord shows up, redefining us, bringing life to everything, for he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.